Praise His name forevermore. Go with me to Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Praise God. Praise Your name, Father. We bless You. Father, we're just so grateful, so thankful for Your help here tonight, for Your holy word, Father. We count it an honor to gather around Your word to hear from You tonight. Father, help us. Lord, give us revelation, impartations, Father. Father, just we thank You for utterance from the Holy Ghost, boldness tonight, Father, that I may speak as the oracles of God, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank You that words from heaven will flow from my mouth tonight. And Lord, it'll hit bullseyes in all of the hearers' hearts here tonight. And Father, we thank You. It'll cause us to go to a greater level, to go to a new level of glory. And Father, we'll always give You the praise. Father, we'll always give You the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in Mark chapter 5, most of you here are familiar with this story. So actually, I'm going to drop down to verse 34. The woman with the issue of blood. And this is the end of this story. Jesus said unto her, "Daughter, your faith made you whole." But then He gives her an instruction. We talked about this a little bit on Sunday. Well, actually, it was what the whole message was about, really, about being led by this way or going in this way. "Go into peace and be whole of thy plague." In the Amplified Bible, it says, "Go into peace and be continually healed from your distressing bodily disease." And so Jesus is saying to her, your faith made you whole. It changed your life. But if you want to keep it, if you want to stay in that realm of victory, in that realm of receiving, you got to be in the realm of peace. Amen. Amen. And we talked about on Sunday that we have to protect peace at all costs. That this wasn't a suggestion. Jesus was saying, this is a major thing for you, lady. If you don't do this, you could lose that which is precious to you. And so we have to protect peace at all costs. And we said that no matter what it takes, we have to make adjustments. People we may have to separate from, things we might have to make adjustments to, make tweaks. Whatever it is to bring peace in our lives, we got to do it. Amen? Because too much is riding on it, you know. Our faith for our healing, our faith for our children, our faith for our finances. Everything that we're believing God for, faith flows from peace. And Romans 15 and verse 13 tells us this, where it really kind of points this out to us. It says in Romans 15 and verse 13, talking about peace, it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." And so your believing is going to have something in it. It's going to have joy and peace, praise God. And so, you know, we can say that we're believing God for a turnaround, for a change, for a deliverance, for a miracle. But if our life's chaos and our life's not peace and our life is full of anxieties and fears and worries and distractions and things like that, the avenue of faith does not flow in that place. And so we got to make sure to protect peace. So I'm going to go a little bit different direction with that tonight. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, so He says, go into peace. So He says, I want you to go into peace. That means I want you to stay in that location. Well, that would mean that whatever you do in life would come from a place of peace. If you're in peace, everything you do from there is going to come from the avenue of peace. Praise God. And so He says in Romans 8 and verse 14, He says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And so the Bible's telling us how we are to be led. We've seen this, we've talked about this, very familiar. But He says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So the way that God is guiding, the way that God is directing, is through the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. That's how He does things, praise God, is through the Holy Spirit. And so we want to be led by Him, because I made this statement last night. God sits in a different position than we sit in. He sits in a position of, not a position of, He's not in this, well, I could say it this way, When you're lost in the woods and you can't see your way through to get out, even though maybe the field's just 50 yards one way or the road's 100 yards one way, but you can't see and there's no cars going by and you don't know which way to go, if you were to be able to see yourself on a GPS, you know, from a perched position from an airplane, you wouldn't feel the same way as you would inside there. The person that's inside lost, you're not feeling the same way. Why? You're not lost, and you see it from a different perspective. All you have to say is, hey, go this way 100 yards, or go that way 100 yards. So, and God's in a position where He's at from heaven, and that financial thing that you're in, that physical thing that you're in, that family thing that you're in, He doesn't feel that pressure. He doesn't feel that attack. He doesn't feel those weights. He sees it from a place of victory. He sees it from a place of answers. He sees it from a place of peace. And so if He's leading, we need His direction, because He can lead us out of those places. He can lead us into where we need to go. And so He says, "There, whoever's led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God." That's how He's doing it. Now go to Proverbs 20 and verse 27. Just laying the real quick groundwork here. Proverbs 20 and verse 27. Hallelujah. Proverbs 20 and verse 27 says, "The spirit of man," well, you know that you are a spirit and you have a body and you have a soul, a mind, will, and emotions. But it says, "The spirit of man is something." He says, it's the candle of the Lord. Now think about what the candles were back in those days, you know. They are to us what flashlights are now, you know, or lamps or lights, light switches, you know, you turn on. What's it do? It sheds light on the scene. Why do we turn our lights on when we get up in the middle of the night? So we don't fall down the stairs, so we don't bump into things, so we don't run into things. So, you know, why don't we cook in the dark? Because we don't want to burn the house down. We don't want to, you know, the lights, obviously. And so the candle back then was to shed light. Why? To direct you where to go, to show you what things are what. And it says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord." So He says, I use the spirit of man to guide and direct, right? He says that just like a candle. Now, if you go back to Romans 8:14, you'll think, but I thought it was the Holy Ghost that guides us and leads us, because it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God." It doesn't say the Spirit of man. Well, you have to understand that your Spirit and the Holy Ghost work together. And how does that work? Well, flip back to Romans 8:14 real quick. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And then in verse 16, it says, "The Spirit," should say Himself, "the Spirit Himself," that's the Holy Ghost, "bears witness with our spirit." You see that there? That we are the children of God. It's the same thing that the Spirit, for example, if you are in a stuck place, in a hard place, don't know what to do about your kids, don't know what to do about a situation, don't know what to do about a relationship, don't know what to do about your money, don't know what to do about your business, you know, the things that we need God's guidance on. The Bible says from that position that He's in, and if you go back, we don't have time to look at that tonight, but in John chapter 16, it says that the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, hears from heaven. And so He'll hear from heaven what to do, what to say. He'll relay it to our spirit, like through Romans 8 here, verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. So, for example, we're in a tough spot. I don't know what to do about this, Lord. He's not in a tough spot. He knows what to do about it. Well, how is He going to get that answer to us? He's going to reveal it to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is then going to reveal it to our spirit and bear witness and enlighten us what to do. That's why He says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God." So the Spirit of God directs us what He hears from heaven. But the Bible says the spirit of man's the candle of the Lord, because it gets imparted to our spirit, and then our spirit has the information. We then follow what our spirit's saying to do, and we're blessed, praise God. But what I want us to see about this is Colossians 3 and verse 15. Well, actually, before we go there, Jake, real quick, flip back to Proverbs 20 and verse 27. It's important that you see this here. Proverbs 20 and verse 27. Says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord." We just established that. The Holy Ghost speaks to our spirit. Our spirit enlightens our minds, and then we do what we need to do. But it says, "Searching all the inward parts of the belly." So it tells us the location of the spirit. It tells us the location of our spirit, in which the Holy Ghost and the Spirit are talking together, so they're in the same location. They're not on cell phones together, you know, or texting. They're there together. And so It's that center of man, the heart of man. The central location, the Bible says, is where our spirit is. It's where the Holy Ghost dwells. It's where the communication is going on, is in here. He didn't say searching all the inward parts of the brain, searching all the inward parts of the flesh, the inward parts of the belly, where the spirit of God is located, where our spirit man is located. So remember that when we go to this next verse, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 in verse 15. Colossians 3 in verse 15 says, let the peace. What have we been talking about? Peace. What did Jesus tell us to do? Go into peace. That means he says, stay in peace. That means whatever you do from this point forward, it's all going to revolve or come from a place of peace. He says in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule. What's to rule mean? To take charge. To be the boss. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now, it's not talking about hearts as thump, 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 the organ. Your heart... That's just the natural, that's the organ, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the center of man, the heart of man, the spirit of man. And it says to let the peace of God rule in your heart. Jake, can you pull that up in the Amplified? Do you have that ability back there? Okay. It says, let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule or act as umpire continually in your hearts. Now here we go. Deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state. So now I want to tie all this together so far, what we've been looking at. The Bible's telling you that God leads by the Holy Ghost. That's what we saw, right? Romans 8:14. Then we found out that the Holy Ghost communicates with our spirit to give us the answers from heaven. And that our spirit man, along with the Holy Ghost, is located in the inward parts, searching all the inward parts of the belly or the innermost region or the heart of man, the center of man, right? That's where the Holy Ghost is leading. So now he says, let peace rule or act as umpire in your heart, doing what? Deciding and settling with finality. So when he says, go into peace, what he's saying is, when I lead you by the Holy Ghost, the method by which I'm going to lead you by the Holy Ghost in your heart is going to be through the method of peace. That's what I was saying tonight, you know, you think to yourself, why in the world did Pastor not cancel service? Well, you have the Holy Ghost yourself, amen? Don't ever feel forced to be here. You follow your own heart. You let peace rule, amen? Let peace make decisions in every area. So what he's saying is, go into peace. From peace, let peace be the decision maker. That's how the Holy Ghost is going to operate. How do you know the voice of the Holy Ghost? How could I ever hear the voice of the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost always leads by peace. So what do I do in a situation? What do I do? Do I do this? Do I do that? Do I make this decision? Do I make that decision? What is peace saying? Peace is the voice of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Now go with me to Isaiah 55 and verse 12. Isaiah 55 and verse 12. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 55 verse 12 says, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Now, why am I stressing to be led forth with peace? Well, we touched on a little bit on Sunday morning. Notice he did not say that I am leading through emotion. He did not say, I'm leading through pressure. He did not say, I'm leading through temper or anger or fear or the fact that you're an impulsive human being. A lot of people make decisions because they're impulsive. Just, you know, a lot of people make decisions out of a bad temper. They got offended. They just fly off the handle and do things. A lot of people make decisions because they feel pressured. A lot of people make decisions because they feel guilty. I'm talking about decisions in marriages. I'm talking about decisions with children. I'm talking about financial decisions. And that's not how God's leading. We have to learn. The way that we're going to be skillful in a world that's run, sounds like a movie, in a world. You know, get that voice. How we're going to be skillful in a world run by the devil, who's constantly bombarding us with things, who's using, influencing people to guilt us, to shame us, to pressure us, to whatever, give us their opinions, their wisdom, you know, their counsel. He didn't say to be led by other people's counsel. He didn't say to be led by people, you trust. Amen. That's why you can always trust a good minister when they say, now, if that doesn't bear witness with your spirit, you throw it out. Don't just listen to everything someone tells you. And he's saying, make your decisions based on the Holy Ghost, which the Holy Ghost leads by peace. That's how we're going to be skillful. To navigate through the attacks, to navigate through what's ahead, to know, should I do this? Shouldn't I do this? Peace is the answer. And I can just tell you, from my own life and the experience I've had as pastor for 10 years, many, many people are not led by peace. Many, many people are impulsive. Many, many people are just reactive to situations and what they think. Many people are just in the mental arena weighing pros and cons. Many people are led by pressure and guilt. God's trying to tell them to do something, but they feel pressure to do something else. A lot of people parent by pressure, parent by guilt, parent by fear. Amen? And that is not how we're going to be skillful. God is not in that way. That is not how we get His counsel. That is not how we get His wisdom. Being led by fear, being led by emotion, being led by money, being led by guilt, being led by shame, being led by pressure. No, we are led by the Spirit of God who leads by peace. Amen. Amen. Now, in Proverbs 10 and verse 22, Proverbs 10 and verse 22, says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. What's rich? Increase. More than enough. Abundance. Promotions. It says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. So it says, when we receive of the Lord and what the Lord has, it only leads to increase. Do you see that there? The blessing of the Lord, the blessing whatever comes from Him, just like James said in 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from God. And anything that comes from Him or His way will lead to increase. So when you follow the Holy Ghost, that's learning from Him and listening from Him. When you get something from the Holy Spirit, that's a blessing from the Lord. When you get that from Him and walk that out and obey that and do whatever He says to do, that will lead to increase, praise God. And the great thing about it is there's nothing attached with it, no sorrow. But what I've seen, I've experienced in my own life, I said this to someone last night, I said, I'm tired of taking bumps, thumps, and lumps. The abundant life is not a life of bumps, thumps, and lumps. But a lot of people, including myself, I'm getting better at taking less bumps, thumps, and lumps, take those things because they do things not from a place of peace, not from decisions of peace, not from a position of being led by the Holy Ghost, but making decisions based on fear, making decisions based on guilt, making decisions based on pressure, making decisions based on money, all the things that God's not in. And they go forward in that way, and for example, they get wrong relationships, they get wrong business decisions, they purchase wrong things, they never consult God on things, and they feel like, well, that's a blessing. I got X, Y, and Z, but because it wasn't from him, wasn't led by him, and in fact, he might have been leading in a whole different direction, there was something on the coattails of that thing, and it was sorrow. And unfortunately, I've had to watch it in my own life and watch it in other people's lives, that they make decisions based out of everything apart from in here, and it doesn't lead to blessing, it leads to sorrow. And we see precedent in the Word of God. Go with me to Genesis 25 and verse 27. Genesis 25 and verse 27. Says, now this is talking about Jacob and Esau. Now, if you don't know who Jacob and Esau are, they are the sons of Isaac. If you don't know who Isaac was, that was the son of Abraham. And so we're talking about Jacob and Esau, Isaac's boys. And it says in verse 27, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat his venison. I like Esau too. I like him too. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Man, we got more scriptures for pro hunting. Right there, I'm telling you. We're finding them everywhere. And Jacob sod pottage, or made pottage, or soup, or stew. And Esau came from the field and he was faint. Now Esau was the oldest boy. Now back then, that mattered and meant made a big difference, right? If you were the firstborn boy, my goodness, you were set up good in that culture and in that time. And it is still the way it is in a lot of cultures and different things. It says, and Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day your birthright. Now, you have to understand, and we don't have time to really talk about too much, so I'll just mention a little bit, and that'll be all the understanding you get if you don't know anything about it. But the birthright meant a double portion inheritance of whatever the family had. So one gets a certain amount, but the firstborn gets a double portion. It also meant that you were going to be the ruler over your father's home or kingdom. And also it meant that you'd have judiciary rights to pass down judgments and stuff in the family. If you study this out, it meant a lot. There was increase, there was power, there was authority attached to this birthright. So now Esau is hungry. Well, Esau's hungry and his brother's got some food there. When you get hungry, what really comes to the forefront? Carnality. Emotion. Feelings. Comes to the forefront. And Jacob said, sell me your birthright. Jacob thought, I see a business opportunity here for increase. Not the most honorable thing in the world, but it was wise. You know how brothers are. I mean, I've seen these two go at it before. I know, I don't hold it against Jacob. You know, I'm brothers just being brothers. And he thought, okay. You want that? I heard the other day, a minister friend of mine was talking about his different children and their young boys, age of Caleb. One's a little bit older, one's the age of Caleb. And the one little boy is a spender, spends all his money, you know. And then the one little boy just saves and saves and saves and saves and saves. And he just likes saving money. Well, one day, the dad walked by the room, and the one little boy, who's the saver of the money, sitting on his bed, and he's a real messy kid. The kid that isn't a saver isn't messy, cleans his room. And the little boy that's messy is sitting on his bed, and he's pointing out, and his older brother, is going around and picking up his room. And the dad thought, what in the world? And so he stopped, and he said, What's going on here? I see, you know, it's uncommon for the younger one to be bossing around the older one. What's going on here? He said, oh, not much, Dad. I'm paying so-and-so to clean my room. So he was using that money for power and influence over his older brother who spends the money. He knows he's money hungry. He said, I'll take advantage of this. He said, I gave him a $10 bill to clean my room spotless. I thought that's pretty smart. And that's what Jacob did. He said, sell me your birthright. Now, think about it for a second. How carnal and emotional and impulsive must you be to even consider giving up a double portion inheritance for a bowl of stew? We say, wow, wow, yeah, amen. But you wouldn't believe the things that I watch people do and the things that I've seen people do. And I'm looking around because I don't got much to look around here tonight. So if I'm looking around, I'm not picking you out. I'm just looking at everybody to keep everybody equally on the chopping block. So everybody thinks it's everybody else, no. But you won't believe the things that I hear people do that led by pressure, and I'll think, why in the world would you do that? It seems so common sense. Seems so logical not to do it, but people do it. Why? Because the hunger was so strong to him that he did something so stupid that he regretted the rest of his life. It was, and people, the pressure, the fear, the guilt, the shame is so strong in people's lives at times that it causes them to compromise and do things that are foolish. I met with a young lady in the Olean church. She's long gone, but she was going to St. Bonaventure. When we were in the hotel and we started, a couple of young girls from St. Bonaventure came, and they loved the church. I mean, they were just getting in and into the Word, and I was excited because you could tell by the way they dressed and things at first, they needed the Lord. they started to change. I mean, they started to come to church wearing more appropriate things and really getting hungry about the things of God. But then she reached out to me, and she told me about her boyfriend. She said, "Pastor, I don't know what to do. He wants to get married, but he doesn't even believe in God and wants nothing to do with God." Now, for those of us that are unsaved, and if you made a decision, that's different than a person that's saved and has the Holy Ghost and makes decisions. I don't beat myself up for decisions made unsaved, and neither should you. And you shouldn't even beat yourself up for decisions made saved, because the Holy Ghost, God will forgive you and go forward and help you clean things up. But my point is, she's got the Holy Ghost. She's got the Word of God. She's got a pastor. And she says, "What should I do?" I said, "Don't you dare marry him." I mean, it's not like he's apathetic about God. God is not real. I don't believe there's a God. And she's coming to me. And in my brain, and from the position that I'm in, I'm thinking, like, if I was Jacob, I would have thought Esau's never going to do this. But this goes to show, these other outside influences get so strong in people's lives that it causes them to abandon what the Holy Ghost would say, and common sense, what the Word's saying. Remember when Elijah told the woman in 1 Kings 17? He said, "Fear not, go and do as you have said." He said, the first thing, if I'm going to get you to go and make me a cake first, which is what the Lord is saying, we got to deal with fear. Because the fear is so strong, if we don't get that out of your life, you're never going to obey God. And these outside influences are so strong that it causes people to even openly and willfully disobey what the Word says. Hallelujah. You know, I'll get back to that story in a second, but the Word talks about punishing your children and holding them accountable. But I see a lot of parents in Christianity, in the body of Christ, they just want to be buddies with their kids. They're afraid to make decisions from outside influences, for guilt, for pressure, and they don't do what the Word says to do because of these outside influences. And then from my position, I'm seeing this late girl, I'm thinking, why would you even consider this? But you know why? Because the outside influence of not feeling good enough, of not having self-esteem enough, of pressure of not wanting to hurt him. All these things that God's not in. And you know what? She didn't want to hear that anymore, and I haven't seen her since. Because she knew her pastor's take on it. No, she can do whatever she wants. I wouldn't hold it. I mean, I'm not going to hold against her. I love her just as much as she did or didn't do it. But here, he says, "Sell me your birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I'm at the point to die. Drama queen. Don't tell me There was no other place to get food. But you know we've been, I mean, have you not been there? The other night, Abby, I'm telling you, Abby, we got home from the Allegheny on Saturday night, and this kid eats all day long, don't you? You like to eat. And so we get home from Allegheny, and she's been eating all night long. And we had a fellowship night in Allegheny, so she ate the fellowship night. And Daddy won't let her eat in his truck. He's a mean daddy, because I just know how Abby eats, you know. We reserve Court's car for the dumping grounds, because she's with him more. You understand what I'm talking about here. I just cleaned that thing from hunting season. I said, you're not eating. You fill up at Allegheny. Well, she gets home, and it's late. You know, we got to get her to bed. And she's like, I need something to eat. No, you don't need something to eat. And what does she say to me? You're going to put me to bed starving? That's what she said to me. She was starving. I mean, what would have happened if we didn't put her to bed, or if I didn't end up giving her that Thanksgiving roll? Would she have been wasted away to nothing? But no, you understand, when you get hungry, you don't think reasonably, right? They call it, what, hangry, you know, people. He's being a drama queen here. I'm at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? See, it wasn't just that he was hungry. He didn't have a revelation of the birthright. And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore to him, and he sold his birthright. And Jacob said, eat up. Eat up, brother. I'll take your double portion. Well, what happened? He got the blessing, but sorrow was attached to it. Maybe he would have had to sacrifice a little bit. Maybe he would have had to make some hard choices. Maybe he would have inconvenienced himself to go somewhere else. But it would have got the blessing with no sorrow. And that's what people do all the time. That's what people do all the time. What about in Genesis 13? We don't need to turn there, but we'll you just write this down for time's sake. Genesis 13:1, the Bible said that Abraham and Lot had too much stuff. They have to separate. And Lot, we find, never consults with God. God's position from heaven knew where to go. God would have never told Lot, go to Sodom and Gomorrah. Because look what happened when he got there. His wife was killed. He got kidnapped. Terrible things happened to his family, his daughters. It was a trail of sorrow. But what was Lot led by? Well, the Bible says he lifted up his eyes and he saw that the plain of the Jordan, it was well watered everywhere, like it was in the Garden of Eden. Well, think about it. He's separating from Abraham because they have too much stuff. Too much cattle, too much livestock. What do cattle and livestock in an agricultural society need to thrive and survive for him to keep being profitable? Land. Fertile, good land. And the Bible said that was fertile land, well watered everywhere. So he's got financial pressure on him, doesn't he? He's got pressure to feed his family. He's got pressure to do right things. He's got pressure to keep this going. So he looks. And what? He's led by pressure, led by money, led by what seems to be good, goes to Sodom and Gomorrah in a trail. He got the blessing of the well-watered land, didn't he? Yep, he did. But guess what? The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and had no sorrow. He got the blessing of the land, but did not get the blessing without sorrow. There was sorrow attached to his life forever and ever and ever. Now, I do want to say this because I know how the devil works. If you're here tonight, you can say, you know what? I've not listened to God in the past. I've not followed my heart. I've not followed the Holy Ghost. I've not followed peace. I've made decisions based on money, and I'm in this position now, or based on this, and I'm in this position now. Repent. He'll forgive you, praise God, and then he'll get you out of the mess. Amen. But you have to understand, sometimes to get out of that thing and turn things around is going to be hard choices. It's going to be hard decisions. It's going to be some tweaking and adjusting. You know, this just came to me. I remember this was 2019 still. I had it in my heart that I should not go over to my neighbor's. My neighbor has a property where I can hunt, and he has a gas well road. Well, if you catch it wrong, it's wet and you can't get out of there. Well, I was going to check my cameras, my deer cameras, and it had snowed a little bit, or maybe it was rain. I can't remember exactly when this was, but it was wet, and I had it on my heart that I should just walk the 100 yards down the road and walk back. But I wanted to get there quicker, drive my truck over, drive down the Gaswell Road farther than I can. That I can get to. Well, I did. I got down there and went and got my cameras and went to get out, and my truck got absolutely buried. Now, here's the thing. I'm not stuck there for the rest of my life. If you mess up, you're not stuck there the rest of your life. But there might be some hard things that need to be done to get you up out of that mess. Decisions. You know, if you've parented one way and you realize, okay, because of the way I've parented, it's put me in a mess, and now your kids are used to one way, and now to get out of that mess, you got to make some hard decisions. There's going to be some feathers being ruffled. If you're somebody that, let me just say this to those of you that are married. Your job is to obey God, not your spouse. I'm not saying cause division in the home. That's not what I'm saying. But your job, first and foremost, is to obey God. But if you're somebody that you've always just given in to pressure, done exactly what your spouse, or even a friend, you could say a friend or a parent even, and that's what you've been going, well, how many of you know, you build up a rapport that way, and that becomes normal to them. And so when you all of a sudden get the revelation, I need to obey God and follow the Holy Ghost, well, now you might be in a little stuck place, and to get out of there is going to be some tough decisions. Hey, I'm not going to do that anymore. When we moved in with my dad, I mentioned this on Sunday, that was not Holy Ghost led. I was led by fear, by worry for him. And so when I had to get out of that thing, I had to ruffle some feathers. I had to make some tough decisions. I had to make some tough choices that if I just obey God in the beginning, it wouldn't have happened. But the point is, you don't have to stay stuck. But to get out, just know it might be a little tougher. But it's worth it. Obeying God is worth it. For whatever reason, that woman in 1 Kings 17 was in a mess financially to the point of her last meal. But Elijah gave her a way out. But how many of you know, it wasn't an easy way out to her flesh and her mind. She had a choice. Am I going to obey pressure? Am I going to obey my money? Am I going to obey worry and fear? Or am I going to obey God? And she obeyed God, praise God, and got out of it. Hallelujah. We need to obey the Holy Ghost in peace. Why? It leads to increase. It leads to increase. So if you are in a mess, repent. But if you are truly wanting to get out of it and get direction, because I don't know about you, but we ought to be sick and tired of spinning our wheels year after year after year after year. Going into 2020, carrying the same stuff that we've had in 2019 and 2018, finances are still the same. This situation is still the same. That situation is still the same. God wants you to prosper and thrive in every area. But there's some situations that are going to be to get out of them or to get the turnaround or the change. It's going to require some tough, tough, natural flesh breaking through, obeying the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm going to just... We'll be done here in a couple minutes. When we moved in with my dad and violated the Holy Ghost, her and I had to stay in a small room. It was, I don't know, if you probably walk from the door there, the exit, and come to about here probably and cut over to the wall. It wasn't even probably that big, and there was a bed and a recliner there. And the way my dad was from the stroke, at first it was so bad that, if I'll just say it this way to not be crude, if I wasn't there to help him go to the bathroom each and every single time, there was going to be some major cleanup because of the way the stroke was in his body. And sometimes he just tried to do things on his own. You know, I'd walk in, find him on the ground and things like that. And it was in an old house. And here, you know, we're just married and she's got to share this bathroom with my dad who's... It's never a pretty sight at those times because of what he's dealing with and how difficult some things. He's a big man. I have to help him and things like that. And so it put a lot of stress and pressure on us. And that wasn't God's will, But anyways, I thought, that's the problem when you think. I thought, I'll get out of this. At least I want to make her life somewhat enjoyable while she's here. And one thing is, we had a dog at my dad's named Duke. He was a Cocker Spaniel. It was my dog. But when my dad had a stroke and was there all the time, Duke became his dog and really kind of became a service dog for my dad. It was very therapeutic. He just fell in love with that dog, so they were very close. Well, I thought, you know what? I'll do something for her. Let's get her a dog. And just so happened to be, I worked in the oil and gas fields in Sugar Grove, Pennsylvania for a guy named Fred. He was a Hulk Hogan lookalike, man. I mean, he had the mustache and the muscles. He looked just like Hulk Hogan. And Fred had a dog, an Australian Shepherd year old named Cowboy. Well, Cowboy was a bigger dog and very high strung, very, very, very friendly dog. And took a liking to me. Every time I'd go there, it'd come see me. At lunchtime, I'd go park under this big oak tree and get out and eat my lunch with Cowboy and bring him treats and things like that. And I just loved that dog. And Fred came to me one day and he said, I notice you and that dog get along real well. And he's like in his 70s, his wife's in his 70s, and this dog needs to play. This dog needs to have exercise, or it's going crazy, you know. And so we'd like to give you Cowboy if you'd like to have Cowboy. Now, on that farm, there were other little dogs that he would use to, I don't know what kind of dogs they were, if they were Jack Russells or what, but he would use them to herd his horses with those dogs. And they were a little older, and so they didn't need as much activity as Cowboy did. So he said, we'd love to give you Cowboy. And I thought, man, I'd love Cowboy. That dog is one of the sweetest dogs, and it got along with the other dogs. And when he told me that, I went back in my vehicle, and I never asked God about it, but inside here was a scratch, like fingernails on a chalkboard. Don't do this. Don't do this. You know, it's kind of like that feeling if I said, let's all go down and rob the Super Duper. Let's go. Right now, let's go do it. It'd just be like, Pastor, I really trust you, and usually, you know, but something about that doesn't seem right. That feeling, you know, don't do it, don't do it, don't even tell her about it. Well, I told her about it. I got home and told her about it, because I told Fred, I said, well, I'm going to bring Courtney back to see the dog, make sure she likes him. She'd never seen him. And the whole time on the way home, don't tell her about it. And I told her about it, and we made an appointment to go see him with Fred. And the whole time we're driving that appointment, stop this thing. And I'm not, because I'm feeling bad for her because of the situation I already put her in, right? I'm feeling pressured to make her happy. I'm feeling guilt. God's not in guilt, and God's not in pressure. The whole time, don't do it. We get there, and of course, she loves the dog. Who wouldn't love Cowboy? Cowboy was wonderful. Holy Ghost, the whole time inside, scratch. Don't, nope, yucky feeling. Just, oh, you know that feeling. You just can't sleep. Oh, what did I do? And so I said, I'll take him. Seems like the logical thing to do after the Holy Ghost telling you, no, yes, I'll take the dog. Well, Cowboy is a farm dog, and Fred is not the kind of guy that takes Cowboy to the vet. So Cowboy's got to have all the shots. Cowboy's got ticks all over his body. Cowboy's got fleas all over his body. Cowboy's got matted hair. Cowboy's, I mean, he's a mess. And I can't bring that home. So we not only stop at the vets before I take him home, we stop at the groomers. And I spent, I think it was between $500 and $600. It might have been almost $700. And everything, all the shots, deworming, ticks, everything you can do, getting that dog. I mean, that dog would have won a dog show. Would have. This beautiful dog, and it was so clean and healthy now. So we're happy, except for in here, I'm not. So we got the blessing of a dog. I got the blessing of seeing her happy. I got the blessing of having that guilt go away. But because it wasn't the blessing of the Lord, the Bible tells us what's going to come with it. Sorrow is going to be attached with it. Well, I walk into the house with Cowboy, and I've seen Cowboy around other dogs. I've seen Duke with other dogs. Duke's fine. I've seen Cowboy with other dogs. Cowboy's great with other dogs. He sees my dog, and the first thing he sees when he sees that dog, Duke, the little Cocker Spaniel, and I remember, my dad's had a stroke. Messes with his brain. When things are now magnified to my dad. When he gets upset, the stroke magnifies it 50 times more. When he gets mad, the stroke magnifies it, does it not? It just, and when he gets on it and he gets stuck on it, there's no talking him out of it. Just the way the brain has now been messed up from that stroke. So Cowboy goes in the house, and I'm excited. You know, we got a new dog. Everything's great. She's happy. Pressure's gone. Guilt's gone. And I'm like, I just must have had some gas or something. I don't know. Seems good to me. Everything's working out. and Cowboy's mouth goes up and teeth, and I hear that dog growl, and that dog goes after Duke and attacks the little Cocker Spaniel. And my dad, because of the stroke, that would make him upset anyways, has thrown him into a fit and worry and anxiety and all this because I'm having to break the dogs up. Cowboys, it's just chaos in the home. The whole time, the Holy Ghost was trying to spare me from spending that money, from having to break her heart to give the dog back, from having to go with my tail between my legs to Fred and say, we can't take the dog, to watching my dad having to get him down because he doesn't come off of that in a day. When my dad gets mad at me, it is weeks, literally weeks, before he'll have anything to do with me and again. And it's not because of his, it's not his fault. He gets stuck in there. That was that way with him for so long after that. And the Holy Ghost the whole time was trying to tell me. Why? Led by emotion. Led by pressure. What is it in our lives right now that we're partaking of? Or we're parenting from? Or we're going by this from peace, worry, fear, anxiety. It's not where God is. It's not where God is. Hallelujah. I think about, I got to get myself, at least leave you with something good for me so you don't go home hating me and thinking I'm an idiot. You know, I'll be honest about tonight. I prayed about service tonight because the norm for me has been if there's any kind of weather advisory in an evening service, I cancel. I sought God on it all day, and I had nothing in my spirit to cancel. Now, can I miss it? Absolutely. I'm not apart from missing it. But I also have to follow peace. I don't know why we would have service tonight. Maybe someone heard something tonight in here, or this service went forward, and someone's listening. It's going to change their whole world. I don't know. I'm not trying to justify. I know we had someone go off in the ditch, and I'm sure she's no injuries or anything like that, and I'm not saying that person missed it either. That's not the case. But I have to follow peace because I'll tell you what, and Pastor Scott, if he was here to attest to this, would tell you, all day long my flesh wanted to cancel. All day long. Number one, it's easier for me to cancel service for my flesh because I don't have to do anything to prepare for a service. And to have a midweek off after a midweek last night, that's nice on my flesh. And the thought of people driving in this stuff and having a low crowd and things, I tried and tried in my flesh to cancel this several times, and my heart just would not let me do it. Now, that is not me justifying why we're here. I'm just telling you, I have to sleep at night, and I have to obey God. And what I'm trying to say is, that was a hard decision for my flesh to make tonight because I know it's going to inconvenience some people, and I know some people are so faithful that when these doors are open, they want to be here. But that's why I encourage you. You have to be led by the Holy Ghost. Nobody is pressuring you to be here. And most likely, most times, we would cancel an evening service. Because most times I've been led to do so when it's any kind of advisory. And today I just didn't have it. Even the whole way here, just nothing in my spirit to do it. But the moral of this whole story is follow peace. Amen. Follow peace. Always follow peace. And I'll say this on the heels of that, because this is good training and good learning for the church. You might see me make decisions. I'm not talking apart from the Word of God. You might see me put people in positions that you don't agree with, or use people that you don't agree with, or make decisions in the church that you don't agree with, that you wouldn't do it. But you have to understand, I have to obey the Holy Ghost. And I endeavor to, can I miss it? Yes, I've proven in some of these stories that I can miss it, you know. When it comes to these things, I don't take things lightly, and I have to make decisions at times that are tough, and people can look at maybe cross-eyed and think, what in the world? But just understand this, I have to obey my heart. And your job is to pray for me. Praise God. So I want to encourage you, just let's close with Proverbs 10:22 again. Proverbs 10:22, we already looked at it. Whatever you're facing, whatever you know that there's better for me, but there's adjustments that need to be made, and there's going to be some tough choices, and I'm going to have to confront some people, you know. I had to confront my dad and tell my dad, I can't live here anymore. The Holy Ghost told me it's time to get out. And there were so many thoughts of fears and worries and all these things. Remember the house you loved? There was a house in South Dayton, down the road. On the outside, it looked wonderful. Even when you walk in, there was a, it was like a log cabin. It was a great room that the fireplace went up the ceiling. And what was it, a moose, an elk? A moose there. I was like, that's everything I ever want. It's got 30-some acres. And we walk into the house, and I have a witness right from the get-go, this is not your home. And I thought, oh, Lord Jesus, don't tell me that. I know she's in love with this place. Oh, man. Because you know what they say, happy wife, happy life. I mean, you either go by this verse or by that motto. Whichever one works better for you. But anyways, I'm just kidding. And so, let me tell you what. We're walking through the house. Oh, my gosh, I love this, I love that. She's saying it, and the whole time I'm knowing, wait till we get in the car. Oh, wait till we get in the car. And you talk about pressure, because here we are in a tiny, if you see our old home, you know, tiny home. I'm in the basement studying for my sermons, half-lit basement, spiders dropping down from the ceiling on me, cold, damp down there. I want out of that place. She wants out of that place. You're bumping into each other. It's tiny, it's small. I mean, real small. And the pressure to want to be a good husband and to provide is there. And this place seems to fit the bill. And the Holy Ghost said no. And we got in the car. And I'll tell you what, there was so much pressure to tell the realtor, we'll take it. And I told her, that's not our home. And the floodgates opened. Oh, the floodgates opened. But she's happy now. And the house that she's in, it led to increase. But there was a tough decision. Confrontation at times. Your job is to obey God, not people. Not what people think, not what people say, not the hard decisions, the pressure. I mean, I had pressure coming from different people. I'll never mention who it was, but I had people calling me nasty, and then I was forsaking my dad, and how could you do that? I have to obey the Father. And it led to increase, and he didn't take a step back either. Actually, it was better for him to get us out of there. So what am I saying? Get this verse down deep in your spirit. Then you'll know, okay, pressure's coming, fear's coming. No, but there's increase involved. The natural says no, but my spirit says there's increase coming. Peace, 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 peace. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, thank you. I could tell you stories till tomorrow morning about times I missed it, times I didn't, but we'll close there. Father, we're just so grateful. So thankful for your mercy. So thankful for your goodness. So thankful for your love and your kindness. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. I know it wasn't convenient tonight. And Father, I'll just tell you, it messed with my head today. It did. And even getting here and seeing what people had to go through to get here and hearing about somebody going to the ditch, Father, that messes with me. But Lord, I just trust that we were here for a purpose. And there was a reason, Father, that we had this service tonight. And Father, I just pray that the words and the fruit that come from this service would remain. And Father, there would be great testimonies from this service. A great blessing come from this service that we had here tonight. And Father, we're just so grateful for your kindness and your goodness and your mercy. Father, you're not mad at any of us. Lord, I've put myself in so many bad positions at times. And all you're ready to do is help me get out of it. And Lord, we're going to do that by being led by the Holy Ghost. The tough decisions we have to make, the things we're unsure of, the Holy Ghost has the answer, and the answer is always peace. Peace will be our guide. So I pray, Father, that people would be led forth by peace, like you said in your word, and they would stop making decisions based on fear. They'd stop making decisions based on pressure and guilt and shame, and they'd start obeying the Holy Ghost and obeying that peace that's on the inside, Father, and increase would come to them. Increase would come to them. Let's just wait on him for a second. Let's praise him and wait on him. Just begin to lift your voice. I know we all know about it in here. We're believers here. Let's